All right, welcome back to the program. It's just gone 9:34 Central African time. We do have Mufti Zubair Bayat on the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi. Assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
We trust that you are doing well this morning, inshallah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mawlana.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. According to my notes, our last program was regarding Muharram, the new year. We spoke about reflections, areas of improvements. We spoke about the aspect of fasting. And also, lastly, we ended off with the note of spending on the family.
Yes, correct. Definitely so, Maulana. Before we can start with that, maybe I just want to say a few words about our program in Port Elizabeth this weekend, Maulana. Alhamdulillah, we were invited to Port Elizabeth for a program that was relating to drugs awareness. This is a campaign that we have started off here at our organization, Darul Ihsan, about 1.5-2 years ago. And alhamdulillah, this program has been conducted in various parts of the country. And ulama of Port Elizabeth, particularly Maulana Muhammad Badshah, who's the imam there of the Masjid Mansur in Port Elizabeth, Maulana invited us to come and conduct this program there. So alhamdulillah, our team of ulama went up to Port Elizabeth and we held this program there. Want to say that alhamdulillah, the hospitality and the ikram and the khidmah of the people of Port Elizabeth is really outstanding. Also, there was a lot of interest and keenness in the public to learn about this particular issue, because it's a universal problem that's facing communities around the world, not only in our country, but in fact in many, many countries of the world, this problem of drugs is there. And there are two ways basically in which we can deal with the drug problem. One is what we would call reactively, which is obviously not the appropriate way, because what that means is that we wait for a person to become an addict, and then we try to help that person. And I can tell you, Maulana, it's not an easy thing. Allah protect all our children and our families and relatives and the entire Muslim Ummah, because once a person becomes an addict, even that person, as hard as he tries to come out of it, it is very, very, very difficult. Nothing short of a miracle can really take a person out. They shouldn't become despondent, but it becomes so difficult that the whole family gets involved and the whole family is affected by it. When a person becomes an addict, it actually impacts on around 50 people around this person. So this is how dangerous it is. And what is more frightening is the new types of drugs that are coming in the market, which were never ever seen before. These are what they call synthetic drugs. They are manufactured in labs. They're not even grown like, how we used to have before. It was a product of some plant. Either it was the poppy plant or it was the cannabis plant and so on. They were plant-based drugs. They are the new drugs which are in some instances 10 times more stronger than the conventional drugs are, those that are designed in laboratories, synthetically, man-made, and they're constantly experimenting with them and making new types. And it's far cheaper to manufacture them in a laboratory than to make it than the conventional method of producing it.
Allah.
So it is really a very, very frightening scenario. And it, all one can say is that it's an indication that the forces of Dajjal are working even harder and harder to destroy, you know, the iman of people, and to destroy the spirituality, and to destroy the minds and hearts of people. So we should really be very, very alert. We should be vigilant. And that's what I was saying, that there are two approaches. One approach is the reactive one, that we wait for a person to become an addict, then we try to help that person, which is a very painful and difficult and tough path. And the other is proactive, where one is very alert, one is keeping an eye, one is keeping a watch, one is doing good parenting, because that is the key to protect our children. If we give them, we were good at our parenting, and we gave them a good upbringing, and we gave them coping skills, and we taught them the life skills, and we equipped them with the spiritual strength to deal with problems, and they have the concept of akhirah in front of them, and accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these things have been ingrained in them, then that is the best protection that one can give one's children. So that was just a brief overview of the program that was held in Port Elizabeth. Maulana Muhammad Bacha arranged this program at Masjid Mansur and Madrasa Mansur for the sisters. There was a special program. And then for the menfolk also, there was a special program that was held. And there were also some programs held in the neighboring town of Uitenhage. And some ladies' programs, etc., were held. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it and reward all our hosts abundantly, especially the Jiva family from Port Elizabeth, mashallah. They're very, very hospitable people, and, you know, they're always there for the guests that come to the town. They're always looking after the guests and making them comfortable. And they're also very supportive of this type of program. And, of course, the rest of the families there, you know, our host on one evening was Dr. Vauda as well, from originally from Durban, and also the Musaji family, late Maulana Hanif Musaji Rahmatul Ali, the father of Mufti Yusuf Musaji, and Mufti Saab's brothers, Mufti Adil, Maulana Idris, and Mahmoud, and the rest of the family there, mashallah, very, very hospitable family, always eager to host guests and so on. So we had some refreshments, and we had also an opportunity to visit their farm there. They've got a beautiful farm with horses and so on. And
Mufti Saab, ride the horses, Mufti Saab?
Ji, alhamdulillah, Maulana.
MashaAllah.
It was very nice. Actually, it was very, very nice to visit the farm and ride the horses and so on. And also Hafiz Abdullah, and I, you know, it would be difficult for me to go through the whole list of guests. Hafiz Salim, mashallah, Hafiz Salim, also a very, very wonderful brother and friend of ours there. And of course, we also met the seniors there, some of the ulama there, particularly Hazrat Mufti Siraj, who is our host on the Q&A program on Radio Islam. Mufti Saab, leading alim of Port Elizabeth, mashallah. And of course, a number of other ulama there, and businessmen and professionals and so on. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept.
MashaAllah.
Maulana, regarding the month of Muharram, I think we spoke a little bit about the importance of spending on the family, but also that we should keep the balance, and we shouldn't go overboard. And it should not become like a kind of a customary thing. Right? So sometimes we should give, and sometimes we should leave it also, so that it does not become like a kind of a compulsory practice. Right? Then also very important is a lot of fabrications and incorrect perceptions are promoted at this time. in Muharram, and lots of these things have no basis at all. As I said, it's actually forged, it is fabricated, unauthentic narrations. People quote these narrations quite freely, but we should be very careful attributing anything to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam or even to anyone else without having a proper and authentic chain of narration. So lots of incorrect beliefs also prevail. Example of some of these beliefs which have got absolutely no basis at all. Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlawi rahmatullahi, a very great scholar of fiqh and hadith, he is the author of a book that is called Ma Thabata Bis-Sunnah, the things that are established in the Sunnah, and he also highlights the things that were not established in the Sunnah. So regarding this, he has mentioned a number of things. One of the things he mentioned is regarding the day of Ashura, that we find some people indulge in mourning and etc., lamenting. So this is not the conduct of the believers. And yes, it is indeed true that the beloved grandson of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, and 71 members of his beloved family were martyred, very unfortunately, but coincidentally, on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. Now obviously, this is a very, very sad and tragic incident in the history of Islam. And it will automatically bring sorrow and grief to the heart of a believer that this is the family of my beloved Nabi, and it is his own grandson and the children and grandchildren of my Nabi's grandson, that is the progeny of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was so mercilessly and brutally and callously executed and martyred in the plains of Karbala. So it will definitely bring grief and sorrow to the heart of a believer when you think about this and you read about the accounts of it. But we must remember one thing, that the Karbala was something that took place 50 years after Ashura was established as a Sunnah fast and a great day in the Islamic calendar. It did not happen. It was not that Ashura gained its significance because of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as is wrongly believed by many people. Some people have this wrong idea that because of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu's martyrdom, this is a great day in the Islamic calendar. No. It so happened that his martyrdom had to be on this day here. And yes, we do experience a pain and a sadness when we think of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, especially being the beloved family of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then also Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu was also the uncle of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and very beloved to him. And he was also martyred very brutally at the time of the Battle of Uhud. So when we hear of the day of his martyrdom, then it should also cause sadness in our heart. But we do not attach any specific importance to these days because of the martyrdom of this great personality. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was martyred towards the end of Zulhijjah, and according to some narrations, perhaps on the 1st of Muharram. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred around the 18th of Zulhijjah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the father of Sayyidina Hussein, was also martyred brutally. But we do not mourn, etc., on the days of martyrdom of all of these great personalities. So we should keep this particular point in mind, because what we find is that lots of innovations have crept in, and we see people adopting certain practices, giving some kind of significance to it, which is not found in the Quran and Sunnah. For example, it is mentioned a person who will take a bath on the day of Ashura, that person will not get sick till the next year's Ashura.
Ajib.
Now this has got no basis at all. Another fabricated narration states the person who applies surma to his eyes on the day of Ashura, he will not have eye trouble for a whole year till the next year's Ashura. So these are some of the incorrect ideas and beliefs that prevail. Then there's also people who only wear black color clothing, for example, as a form of mourning. If a person wears black as a color of choice, and of course sisters wear abayas and so on that are black in color, that's a different thing. But to wear it deliberately only for the 10 days of Muharram as a mark of grieving and mourning, that also has got no basis. Similarly, there are other practices which have got no relevance whatsoever, and it has got no basis to the day of Ashura. There's also certain narrations that come that if you read a certain number of rakats and you read certain surahs and some specific du'as on the day of Ashura, then you will get this reward and that reward. Sometimes it is mentioned that you will get the reward of all the malaika, that were born from, or that were created from the beginning of time till now. You will get the reward of all Anbiya alayhimus salam that were born, and all the good deeds that they perform, and so on and so on. Exaggerated rewards are attached to reading few rakats and some surahs and du'as therein. These all are fabricated things. They have got no basis. So we should be very careful of all of these type of innovations that have been introduced, especially relating to the month of Muharram and the day of Ashura. Then also we find that there are things that are mentioned regarding the history of this day. Some people say that this is the day on which the Tawbah of Adam alayhi salam was accepted, and the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam came onto the Mount Judi, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was removed from the fire, and Ismail alayhi salam was saved from being sacrificed, which is obviously not true because that incident happened on the 10th of Zulhijjah, not the 10th of Muharram. And Yusuf alayhi salam was reunited with Yaqub alayhi salam. So, you know, as many incidents that are relating to Anbiya alayhimus salam of significance is now attributed to the 10th of Muharram, which also is not correct according to Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlawi Rahmatullah Ali in his kitab Ma Thabata Bis Sunnah. He has actually refuted all of these incorrect beliefs and ideas regarding the day of Ashura and the month of Muharram. So it is very, very important that we stick with the way of the Sunnah, we stick with the method of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba Kiram, and that which is authentically passed down to us by the authorities of Islam. And we do not introduce anything new from our side, especially when there's no sanad, there's no chain of narration, and there's no proper authentication, then we should not accept these things, nor should we practice upon any of these things. Deen Islam is about following that which came from Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam authentically. That is what is Islam. Anything beyond that, we do not accept that because there's no proof of its establishment. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned the Ummah about introducing new things into the deen, to introduce innovations and these type of practices which have got no grounds, is what is referred to as bid'ah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Kullu muhdathatin bid'ah, wa kullu bid'atin dalala, wa kullu dalalatin finnah." Every new practice that is brought in is regarded as an innovation, and every innovation is leading one to deviation, and deviation takes one to fire of hell. So we see from this that we have to be very careful what we adopt in the name of Islam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa raddun. Anyone who introduces something new in the name of Islam, which has no association or attachment to Islam, it will be regarded as rejected, it's not accepted. So that is why it is so important that together with the correct practices which we mentioned earlier on, we can just maybe recap that, and that is to fast on the day of Ashura and one day before or one day after. As we know that the day of Ashura this year will fall on Thursday, 10th of Muharram, which will be, I think, the 20th, Maulana?
Let me open the calendar, Mufti Sahib. Yeah, 20th, that's correct.
20th, right? It will be the 20th of September, the 10th of Muharram. The day of Ashura will fall on Thursday. So a person has the choice of fasting one day before, that is on Wednesday, the 9th, which will be 19th of September, or one day after the 11th, which will be Friday, and that will be the 21st of September. You have the choice to fast on either a day before or a day after, but not just on the day of Ashura itself. So that was the one important practice of the day of Ashura, and the other was to be generous on spending on one's family, and also giving some charities, etc., with the niyyah of sadaqah on this day of Ashura. These are the two established practices. Beyond that, no other things are established practices. And there's no practices associated with any of the other days of Ashura, starting from the beginning of Ashura, going up right to the 10th, or beyond that also. There's no other significant practices. These are the days definitely of Ibadah, and the nights of Ibadah, because the month of Muharram itself is a auspicious month, as was explained last week already. And the fast of each day of this month is equal to 30 days of fasting in ordinarily. So if a person wants to fast as much as possible in the month of Muharram, there's no restriction at all. It's a good practice to fast, and it's very important to carry out various acts of Ibadah and stay away from sins and transgressions. But beyond that, there is no additional acts of Ibadah that are associated with the month of Muharram or with the day of Ashura.
Wonderful. Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah Khairan for your time. Much appreciated, inshallah.
Inshallah, ta'ala Mawlana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.